The Dan and Maz Show. My fellow Australians, it's time for the first meal of the day. And it's a day that starts with S, which means it must be time for your serving of weekend breakfast. So crank your volume up. Oh, to a respectable listening level.
It is still quite early.
It's time for Dan and Maz Weekends. Hooray!
Good morning, legends. Happy flippin' Sunday.
Ah, rise and shine, beautiful Australia. It's time to give the day a big hug and a peck on the cheek and say, hello, day. And the day will be like, hello, it's me, Sunday. And you can seize it. You can seize the day.
Guys, we've got a great show planned for you today. After 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by Sasha, the latest evictee from Batch HQ. That will be The Bachelor.
Now, Maz, she's the Russian one who ate her rose on the premiere episode. Remember we spoke about that? She started eating her rose.
How could I forget?
I obviously am quite the Bachelor enthusiast, so we'll get to the bottom of why she ate the rose, what it tasted like, and would she do it again?
Also, one member of the Dan and Maz team has been nominated for Woman of the Year.
Me! I was a woman all along. No, I'm still a man. It's you, Maz.
We're going to get to that. That's after 8 o'clock. Up next, we will be opening up our encyclopedia of awesome. It lives online at danandmaz.com if you want to go and check it out.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Let's open up our encyclopedia of awesome.
For centuries, people have gathered to argue over the most important topics. What is the best breakfast cereal? What's the best word beginning with T? We're going to solve them one at a time and stick them in the Encyclopedia of Awesome. And today's question is,
what's the best South American country?
Inspired by the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. What is the best country in all of South America? Is it Brazil or is it another? 13, 10, 60. And these votes all get compiled and put in the Encyclopedia of Awesome, which you can see on danandmaz.com, as you said, Mazzy.
It lives online forever.
It does. And so what have we done in the past? Let's have a look. What's the best pink food? That was Fairy Floss.
Of course it was.
Who's the best spy? James Bond was the winner there. Geography ones tend to be a bit skew-if, Maz. Remember we did what's the best European country to say out loud and the winner was Ibiza?
Yes, which is not a European country.
Not even a country. But anyway, we'll give it another shot today. What's the best South American country? Now, for me, Maz, this is a bit of a no-brainer for me.
Why's that?
Well, it's got to be the magical land of Peru.
Why?
Peru. Peru has so many things going for it. It's where quinoa comes from.
Is it? I did not know that.
It's where ceviche, the sort of raw fish dish, comes from, which is delicious.
It is amazing.
It's got Machu Picchu, which is an amazing tourism site. And it's
My mum's done that. Is that the big walk?
Yep.
Yeah,
and
mum's done that.
It's where Paddington Bear comes from. He's from darkest Peru. When they find him on the train tracks or the train station, wherever he is, he's from darkest Peru, Paddington Bear.
I thought he was from Twopshire.
Nope, wrong. What else about Peru? It's got two of the top 10 restaurants in the world there, Astrid y Gaston, and it's got Central, two great restaurants are there. So Peru
so many
gets
reasons.
My vote.
Yeah. That's a really good suggestion. 13, 10, 60.
Yeah, this is the level of seriousness I want when we decide what is the best South American country.
Okay, that's because you went into a lot of detail there.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Maz?
Well, I've got a more simpler reason why I think that Paraguay is the best South American country. I'm pretty sure one of my mates lives there.
That is not the level of detail we're after, Australia. We want fully reasoned answers like mine.
That is a really good reason. A friend of mine, her name's MJ, Maria Jose.
Might live there.
I think she still lives there. Like, we haven't been in touch in recent times. We used to do dancing together.
All right, so it could be.
I'm pretty sure she's there. She may have gotten married and moved, but I'm pretty sure she's still in Paraguay.
131060, whatever we decide by popular vote will be locked forever into the Encyclopedia of Awesome. What is the best South American country?
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Let's pen something into the Encyclopedia of Awesome.
For centuries, people have gathered to argue over the most important topics. What is the best breakfast cereal? What's the best word beginning with T? We're going to solve them one at a time and stick them in the Encyclopedia of Awesome. And today's question is...
what's the best South American country?
All right, 131060, or tweet us at Dan and Maz, the best country in South America. Is it Brazil, where the Olympics are being held? That's what brought this convo up.
The inspiration behind it.
Yeah. But is it the best country in South America? What do you reckon?
Let's talk to Ryan on 131060. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, Ryan.
Really good. Really good, thanks.
I think without doubt, Colombia is the best South American country for a few reasons.
Colombia?
Colombia. Mm-hmm. There is Miss Colombia who was dethroned of her crown. That's pretty awesome. You know, who can say
that? Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah. And probably
The
second reason, which I think is even more, you know, a much better reason, the woman who told me that my hips tell the truth, Shakira.
Oh.
Shakira's a good reason for anything, isn't she?
She's a great reason.
That's fantastic. This is what I was after. Good, solid reasoning as to who's the best. Consider Maz. Oh, I reckon one of my mates lives in Paraguay. I'll lock that in. No, I want facts. I want interesting stuff.
FYI, in a news update on my friend, I did just go to her Facebook page and she does still reside in Paraguay.
Oh, good on you, Maz. Good on you.
Ian, hello.
Hello?
There he is.
Hi.
Ian, sorry to distract you.
How you going, guys?
Good?
Yeah, really good. We're after the best South American country, Ian.
Oh, to me, it'd have to be Brazil.
Brazil. Okay. Now, why?
Well, I've heard that this has the second rate of people born with ADHD, and I kind of suffer the gift and the curse myself. And
I've got to say, you were a bit distracted when we tried to talk to you at the start. You're kind of
I was taking my daughter ice skating and everything. I was opening the garage door and eating a blueberry muffin at the same time.
So the reason you love Brazil is because it's a world leader in ADHD.
Yeah, it's a lonely life with the ADHD, and I reckon I just fit in.
Oh, I like that. That's a good reason.
That's a
not
good
only
reason.
That, but they seem to have the jungles and the trees for the sort of, you know, to swing off and sort of...
They do seem to, don't they?
Yeah, definitely.
That's a great reason. And I didn't realise that. I actually didn't know that Brazil produced so many people with ADHD.
It's a fun fact. I don't know where it's from, but it's a fun fact.
Thanks, Ian.
Keep going.
Kayla, hello.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, Kayla.
My favourite South American country would be Bolivia.
Bolivia, tough to say, but fun to go to? Or?
Yes. Well, it's truly based on its name. There's no other reasoning behind it, and I've never even actually stepped foot in South America.
That would make sense if your name was like Olivia, and you were like, it rhymes with my name. But
Bolivia!
No,
yeah.
No,
you just like it because it sounds
like
good.
Yeah.
I feel like La Paz, the capital of Bolivia, is the highest altitude capital city in the world, I think. That's a little quiz night fact that I remember away in my brain.
Or it might be, thank you for that.
Or it might be Quito in Ecuador, one or the other.
I'll have to look into that then.
Yeah, look into that, please.
Maybe get the right answer before you bring it up at trivia.
All right, I will do that.
Or before you say to the team, I know this, all right?
We've
I know
this, guys. Yeah. Thank you, Kayla. Should we get producer Blake in here to make a decision this morning?
PB, producer Blake, you can enter the studio. I don't like it when the producers come in here, but very well. All right, come on, get on your microphone. First of all, producer Blake, is there something, some sort of honourable mention that you want to, tell people about? Something
definitely.
That... something that you got on the phones, didn't win, but still worth sharing.
Yeah, you know what? They're all okay.
what sort of a response is that?
Well, it wasn't really
we've disturbed you and gotten you, dragged you out of bed, kicking and screaming to come here and answer the phone?
You're all okay. Like,
it's your bloody job, Blake. Fire up, mate.
Yeah, they're all okay. Yeah,
sorry. Anyway, back to it.
So,
back to what?
No, back to the answer. No, it was a good honourable mention. I really liked the linguistic, the dictation of Bolivia. I thought that was pretty good. Didn't win, but
what won?
Yeah. Oh my god!
What is the best? Wrong. Lock it in.
Can we Brazil. Fire Blake?
This is the most wishy washy.
ADHD. Brazil. No, I didn't mean ADHD won, like, but Brazil won.
No, please explain more.
No, I gotta get back to work.
Finally.
All right, lock it in, Brazil.
And so the final decision was made and entered into the Encyclopedia of Awesome. From this day forward, let it be known that
Brazil
is the best
South American country. Just quietly, should have been Peru, but that's what happens when you leave your radio show in the capable hands of Blake in the phone room.
Just a sidebar, Blake, mate, you've got a week to get your shit together.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Yesterday I was talking about the census, Maz.
Oh, you love the census.
I love data.
You really do. You did talk weeks leading up to census night about how excited you were about it. And I do remember 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember census time purely because of you bringing it up and talking me through it.
I get excited, were. Just little things where I'm like, oh my God, I lived in a different house a year ago and a different one 5 years ago. That's three different addresses I get to write in. Like, I get really excited about it. Maz, you made a joke that I was going to have people over for a census party.
Were you threatened to?
Yeah, well, you might have been doing a bit of a jest, Maz Compton. But I actually did invite all my friends over for a census party. But
did you pitch it to them as that, though?
Yep.
Did you invite them over for a census party, or did you just go, hey, guys, why don't you come over and hang out and we can drink whiskey and play board games like we usually do on Saturday nights, but just do it on a Tuesday.
That's literally what I would call a party at my house, just adding a cheese plate as well.
And then because it was a Tuesday, they all rocked up and you're like handing out census papers at the front door. You're like, hey guys, guess what you just entered into?
No, I did a quick whip around with all my mates and everyone had an excuse. I feel like some of them were made up. Have a listen.
Hey Amy, do you want to come over to my place and you could like be like a person in my dwelling for the census?
Look, I'm really sorry, I'm dead.
Candace, do you want to come over the census?
I'm sorry, I can't. My cat really doesn't like it if I'm away at night. Sorry.
Hey, Jack, I was just wondering if anyone wanted to come around and be in my dwelling for the census. Do you want
to? Oh, I'm really sorry. I need to take care of my brother's sick twins.
Andy, I'm having people around, like everyone's coming for the census. Do you want to be part of my census gang?
I'm part of a religious sect that doesn't agree with information.
Sophie, you'll come to my census party, right?
Oh, mate, I'd love to, but I've got to, like, replace the grout on my tiles. Sorry.
Tom, now, I mean, like, if anyone's going to come over and do a bit of data entry with me, it'll be you, right?
No, I'm personally leaving the country tonight just to avoid you.
Hey, Sarah, do you want to come over? We can do the census. It'll be fun.
I've got a really bad urinary tract infection.
Is that all you can think of?
Oh, dude. But are they really your friends?
Yes. No. But seriously, I actually did, in a weird way, Maz, almost end up having a census party at my house.
Okay.
Accidentally, right? Because everyone was doing, when the website crashed, everyone was putting up memes, like, you know, like Simpsons GIFs and stuff. And I thought, I want to create my own sort of joke that I can tweet about the census site being crashed, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Because that's what I do at night. I just sit around thinking up tweets. Yeah.
So this is what happens when I'm at the gym.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
I'm writing
tweets.
And so basically I got a little piece of paper and wrote error 404, which is what you get on the internet when a website doesn't work, and just put it on my census paper and was like, guys, even the paper one isn't working. Pretty funny, right?
Yeah,
I got
that
about,
is funny.
You know,
very
50
funny.
Retweets, about 100 favorites. So that's pretty good, right?
Is that good?
Yeah. But here's the thing, Maz. I didn't realise that it had my census code on the piece of paper. So all these people were tweeting me going, oh, can we put down your house as the house that we're at using your code? And I went, oh, my God. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
There was like a hashtag saying census at Dan's.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, am I like one of those dumb people who gets a new credit card and then takes a photo of themselves holding it and puts it online or something?
Yeah, that's exactly what you are. But does that mean now, hang on, that you've skewed the the census results.
And I've destroyed the statistics that I so sincerely love.
Oh, well, I'm so glad I haven't done mine yet.
It should be okay. It should be all right. But it was pretty funny. What if there's just this one house and it's my place and it has, like, you know, 100,000 people in it?
Oh, my gosh. Might that'll be interesting.
Sweet government funding as an interest group.
Yeah. Oh, well. Whatever. I'm still going to do mine like this week, I reckon.
Good.
I'll get around to it.
It's your duty.
I've got till mid-September. It's ages.
Do it.
I will.
It's fun.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
A new episode of Chatterbox, my web series on Yahoo 7B, was out this week.
Gotta say, Maz, I am loving your box.
Yeah, I don't know if we should be saying that.
The big C, the Chatterbox.
This week my guest was Lisa Messenger. I'm totally girl crushing on her. I'm not sure
who the hell is Lisa Messenger?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're familiar with her work. Have you heard of a magazine called The Collective Hub?
Oh my God, yes, I love the C Hub, or the Chub as I call it.
Do you call it the Chub?
No, I don't know. What is it?
Oh, okay. It's a pretty awesome mag. It's one of the only, well, I subscribe to two magazines. That's one of them. Lisa is the brains behind that. She's the editor-in-chief. She's also started
what is
a
it
publishing
about?
Company.
What is the content of it?
It's a magazine for entrepreneurs.
Oh, okay. I'm an entrepreneur. Yeah.
Lisa is the editor-in-chief.
Just gonna let that one go, all right.
she kind of seeks out the story behind the success, you know. So, for example, she got to meet Sir Richard Branson, who is probably one of the biggest entrepreneurs going around, right?
Yeah.
He's on the front cover of, I think, last month's edition, and she went to Necker Island and had a bloody good old time with him.
Sweet.
We did get, I don't quite know how this came up, but we got into some kind of death chat.
Good interview technique.
Have a listen. I want to talk about the Collective Hub, firstly and foremostly. I am a subscriber.
I just wanted to do something for entrepreneurs that kind of was the story behind the story and that actually told not just the glossy, shiny, you know, outward image, but kind of what was really going on. I actually kept it really quiet and purposefully so because the idea was so big and so crazy. Like, I knew it was crazy. I mean, I truly had no idea what I was doing. I had zero experience. And so I just had to freaking buckle in. And just go for the ride. But the thing is, if I had of actually surrounded myself with sensible people at that time, every single person would have said, don't do it, you're nuts, and I probably wouldn't have done it.
You've met Sir Richard Branson. I find him a fascinating human being.
Yes. So I was fortunate enough in November 2014 to be invited to go to Necker Island. It was extraordinary. And just to add to that, it was actually the day after the Virgin Galactica disaster. So I questioned, why would Sir Richard turn up, you know, when he doesn't know any of us? Why would he leave this disaster? Surely he needs to be there. He turned up the next morning, 10 o'clock, as he would, in his bare feet and bodies. And I said to him, why are you here? And he said three things which have stuck with me for a long time. Firstly, it was really important to front up and front the media. Second, there were 400 or so, you know, people there who actually knew what they were doing. So it was really important to empower them and get out of their way and let them get on with the job. And then thirdly, he said, which blew me away, he said, I made a commitment to be here. And I thought, well, I am never not going to turn up anywhere after that. You want to hear something totally wacky?
Yeah, absolutely.
One of my crazy courses I did, like 12 years ago now, craziest thing I ever did, but it's so memorable. But to get in black cars, like one after the other, and drive to a cemetery and get out and go and find a gravestone and go and lie down by it for like an hour or so, right? That experience completely flipped my entire life because you had to imagine if you were dead, what would people be saying about you?
I get the point.
And at the time, I was like, wow, there's 10 people here. They're saying she's a loser. She's done nothing with her life, whatever. And I was like, whoa, excuse me, I'm sorry. Takes lying by your own gravesite to bring
that up. It is kind of morbid, but I actually have done, not that exercise that you just explained, but I've thought about my funeral and I've actually asked my partner that when I do pass, should it be before him, that I get cremated, that he put my ashes in fireworks and that they let them off.
Oh, that's cool.
To Katy Perry's firework.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah. So it's already sorted. Like, that's actually how I'm leaving the world. Lisa, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah,
I'm going to leave it on the morbid fireworks at the funeral note. I've got a business idea. I'm going to go vision board.
Wow, that is a, I mean, that's a coup. What was that, like a seminar?
Yeah, it was one of the many, I think, you know, try and find yourself retreats that Lisa's been on over the years. One of the exercises that they did.
It's not a trust fall, is it?
No.
Do you ever do that, though, like you sort of go, if I died, what do you reckon my obituary would say?
Well, I haven't thought about the obituary part of the funeral, but I just know that I want to be cremated and put into fireworks and let off at the funeral.
That's what you would have been thinking if you were lying down in the graveyard doing this exercise, just what kind of fireworks you want.
Do you know what? I wouldn't probably be at the graveyard because I'd be in the fireworks, you know?
No, you'd imagine the fire. Anyway. 131060, right? This is what we want to sort of discuss about this. What is the weirdest thing that's happened to you in a cemetery?
Cemetery is a strange place. It's a strange old place. They're quite spooky, I think, especially at night. They're quite weird. And unless you're going to a funeral, you probably aren't milling about the cemetery, or are you?
131060, if you've got a story that involves a cemetery and the story will blow our mind, now's the time to call up. I reckon, Maz, we might get a lot of Pokemon Go hunters. Because I feel like Pokemons might live in the cemetery. Sorry, Pokemon. There's no S when you pluralize. I learned that because we got a lot of angry comments on our Facebook when I said Pokemons. Yeah.
Pokemon hunters.
Yeah.
I feel like a cemetery is a really good setting for a Ouija board experience.
Oh, yeah. We might get some Ouija.
Some Ouija or some witchcraft. Ooh. Love to get a witch on.
All right.
131060. Give us a call. Tell us what your best story involving a cemetery is. We'll get to it next.
Jan and Maz Weekends.
We want to know on 131060 if you've got a cool story involving a cemetery.
Ooh.
What an odd place, the cemetery, isn't it?
Yeah, also, but like, weird things can happen to you anywhere, but if they happen to you in a cemetery,
bit weirder.
You remember that for the rest of your life, you know, and then you'll go, oh, I hope one day there's a radio show doing cemetery stories and I can call them up on 131060. Oh, yeah, you can right now.
This is inspired by my interview with Lisa Messenger on Chatterbox, which is on Yahoo 7B, which is my web series. And Lisa told this story of how she was at this sort of like, I'm going to call it self-help camp because that's what it sounds like, you know. And one of the exercises they did is they had to go to a cemetery, lie down next to a gravestone and imagine their funeral and what people would be saying about them at their funeral as a way of, I guess, inspiring themselves to go and achieve the life that they want people to talk about at the end of their life.
I guess it makes sense. Nothing like the grim specter of mortality to get you out there and doing things.
Brutal. I mean, the retreats that I go on, it's more like surfing and canapes. But
yeah. I love a good brainstorm as much as the next person, but I don't need to go do it in a graveyard. You know what I'm saying?
131060 is our number. Marie has called us. You have a story involving a cemetery.
Hello.
Hey, Marie.
Hey, Marie.
Hi. Yeah, no, I have a story about a cemetery. I recently went to a funeral that was for my father-in-law. And and after, we were all just standing around chatting and there was a lady standing up the back by herself. So I went across and said hello and she seemed to know who I was. I didn't know who she was. And we chatted for a while and then I went back to my hubby and I was telling her about her and how she'd been asking about his mum, if she was coping, etc. And he asked me to describe her and I did, and I described what she was wearing and he questioned me again, and then we were later talking to his mum. He told me to tell the story, and that's when it came out that it was apparently her sister wearing her favourite dress. Her sister had died a few months before.
What?
And I did not believe it. I'm not one that really believes in that sort of thing, but I had stood and talked to her for quite some time. A couple of weeks later, my mother-in-law sent me the photo of this lady in her dress.
And it was like it was legit her.
Wait.
It was legit her.
The sister came back from the dead to go to the brother's funeral.
Brother-in-law.
Oh, the in-law. She must have really liked the family.
Well, they're all very close family. But, yeah, no, it just freaked me out because I hadn't really believed in something
that
like that.
That's hectic.
Well, you believe it too. Yeah, all right.
Have you guys heard of the this similar story, but it is more of a conspiracy because it involves the royal wedding. Apparently, there was a woman at the royal wedding that no one spoke to a few of the guests. They reckon that it was Diana come back from the dead and that her shadow's in a photo and no one can identify who it is. Have you heard that conspiracy?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I love how Marie's like, oh, it happened to me, but it couldn't happen to the royal family. That's just ridiculous.
Of all the people that should believe that conspiracy theory, you've got the ultimate story proving that it's real.
Well, it freaked me out and, like, I described it to a few people and they all said the same thing. So, I mean...
You've spoken to a ghost.
This weird thing is I'm a touchy-feely person, so I normally put my hand on someone's shoulder or elbow.
Well, would have gone straight through her.
Well, I didn't do it, and that was even weird. So.
That's weird.
I reckon you just had a conversation with a random person. I'm sorry.
Grief does amazing things to people.
All right. Let's get one more. Claire. G'day, Claire.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, good, Claire. What's the weirdest thing that's happened to you in a cemetery?
Have you talked to a ghost?
No, I got my car stuck between two headstones.
Why were you driving your car through the headstones?
Very young and dumb and had a friend that lived next door to the cemetery. We actually used to hang out there quite a bit.
Oh, my God.
And just decided... one night that my car would fit through, and it didn't.
No, do not do.
Oh,
do not
God.
Do.
Claire, what did you do? Did you have to call, I don't know, roadside assistance?
No, believe it or not, I actually just put my foot down on the accelerator and pushed it all the way through, and my parents weren't overly happy when I got home and the car had to be resprayed.
Oh, dear. You could call that a grave error.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
There we go. We've seen all sides of the...
That is definitely the spectrum right there.
Exactly.
Like, sister-in-law appears as a ghost at a funeral to drove my car through two tombstones, did not fit.
You're waking up with Dan and Maz Weekends.
Everything lights up, makes you want to shout. Talk about happiness, that's what we're talking about.
Happy Sunday, legends. Still an hour to go on the Dan and Maz show. Up next, Dan, you caught up with Sasha from The Bachelor.
She's the Russian one who ate the rose. And I did a bit of 60 Minutes Tracy Grimshaw, Maz, a bit of investigative journalism with her to try and find out, you know, why she ate the rose, what it tastes like. I really felt like a bit of a Yana Vent, a Ray Martin type character, really grilling her. Because, I bloody love The Bachelor. I live tweet every episode. At Dan DeBoo, follow me. Yeah, good stuff, mate. Also, before the end of the show, we want to know, what have you got in your pants?
Well, more specifically, your pocket.
Well, we'll get there soon. Plus,
and if
also,
anybody rings up and says gun, you're not going to get through, so don't worry.
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of things that don't get to air, to be quite frank. also, Maz, you are nominated for Best Woman in the World as well.
Nope. Incorrect. Cosmopolitan Magazine's Woman of the Year.
Yeah. Well, we're going to kick your campaign off with a fiery start before the end of the show.
Sounds like a good plan. Sasha from The Bachelor on next.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Bachelor time. Love. Oh, will Richie find the girl of his dreams?
Yes.
Yep, he will, because that's how the show works.
He better, otherwise it's a waste of a season of television, isn't it?
He has made out with every single goddamn woman on that show. It is getting creepy, I've got to say. Never got the chance to kiss Sasha, though. She's the Russian one who had eyes only for the rose that she started eating.
Yeah, so this was really interesting because, I mean, she dead set ate the rose that she was given at a rose ceremony.
Yep.
And no one's really brought it up.
Correct.
Like, it feels like either everyone missed it except for us, or it's this thing where people go, oh, let's just not bring it up. Like, let's just not talk about the fact that she ate a rose like an insane person.
Well, from what I know, Maz, I reckon they filmed the whole thing and it was only after they'd sent everyone home and said thanks for your time that someone saw the footage and went, oh, my God. There's a bit of a rose-eating escapade going on there. But anyway, I got to catch up with her. So you can see the video on our Facebook. It's worth watching it just for my hair, which is actually insanely terrifying.
Really, it's taken on a life of its own.
It's like
in
a lion's mane.
We should probably, do you know, can we make that an agenda point for next weekend's show, actually? Dan Hair intervention.
Hair intervention. but I did, first of all, I live tweet every episode, so I got her to read some of my tweets. But I also, as I said, I went Tracy Grimshaw and grilled her all about that rose-eating incident. So, first of all, we need to confirm, right? On the first episode of The Bachelor, when the camera cut to you, you were eating your rose as a tasty snack.
Thanks for having this here.
I know. Well, yeah,
you just have lunch, so you know.
You're staring at this, going, "It's like imagine like a giant bucket of chicken or something." Like you're staring at this, going, "Oh, me must eat." Did you seriously like eat your rose?
I did.
Why?
Can you imagine? Why the hell not?
No, that's not a normal answer. Like,
all right. I'm going to tell you. Firstly, it had a little bit of sugar in it.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. Have you been there? I have.
Okay, all right.
Did you have a rose in your hands? Yeah. No, you didn't. I did.
All right, I'll trust
you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there was sugar. And, we've had a very long day shooting. So I was like, you know what? I couldn't care less about the cameras. Too busy, too tired. Let me get the hell out of here. And I was like, yeah, okay. I'm just going to nibble on that little candy.
Why do they have sugar on them? Is this some inside TV sort of thing where it's like, you know, like, oh, we don't have cows on our TV show. We just paint horses to look like cows. That looks more like a cow on TV.
No, I think it's like preserving them so they last longer.
Wow.
I don't know.
So you're kind of amazed that no one else was eating them.
No, the girls were licking them as well, but, you know.
You got caught.
I was the one.
I live tweet every episode of The Bachelor. So this is, I don't know what you do with your life, but I sit at home on my couch on Wednesday and Thursday nights and just watch reality TV and tweet about it.
Fabulous life you have.
I thought I'd show you some of the, you were a great source of comedy inspiration for me. Mm-hmm. So I thought I would present to you some of the things that I've written. So this is one. You may read it out loud.
What the hell? She just took a bite out of her rose. What? Why are they not explaining this? What? Why? What?
All in capitals.
Like, seriously. As if it's a big deal. I've just had a little nibble.
Okay, next one.
Oh, hey, Sasha. It looks like your baby is hungry. Oh, gosh.
And then a picture of a rose.
Oh, it's a picture of rose.
By the way, second hard-hitting question. Who was the person whose fake baby, like there was a news story saying that someone was so negligent with their baby that it actually was technically dead, the amount of attention they didn't give it. Was that you?
No, I was very nice and kind to my baby.
Who killed their baby?
That was Megan. I think Megan was brutal to her baby. No offense, but yeah, that poor baby didn't have legs and arms. Sure.
Next one.
Sasha is doing the Olympics date. I thought most Russians were banned from Olympics. So what?
And this one.
Oh, the saddest part about Sasha not getting a rose is she won't have anything to eat in the limo home. No, I didn't. I was so hungry in the limo. I was like, where is my roses?
Maybe if you got an Uber, they at least would have given you some mints or something.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, we thought what we would do is bring in some roses as a little snack that you can maybe eat on the way home. So will you accept these roses?
I will accept these roses. Thank you so much.
Okay. And also we thought, you know, will you accept these roses as well?
How cute. Thank you.
There you go. That's actual roses.
That is.
But anyway, why not? Have an enjoyable snack.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the interview, Sasha. Oh, God. Oh, that's truly awful.
Some chemistry there between she's single, isn't she? Sasha and yourself?
I am not going to lie, though. Like,
Is that why you put your hand up to interview all of the bachelorettes and get kicked off the show?
But you do honestly go, you're like, well, she is looking for love. So maybe, I don't know, watch the video. I honestly, I watched the video back and I had that genuine thought where I went, is that really what my hair looks like?
It does. It's insane.
So it maybe I scared her off with my lion's mane. But yeah, that's Sasha from The Bachelor finally talking about why she ate that rose in the first episode. It's on our Dan and Maz Facebook. Check it out.
Guys, coming up next on the show, a brand new game on the Dan and Maz show. We launched it a couple of weeks ago. It's back and everybody in Australia can play. It's called What's in Your Pocket. It's not rocket science.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Time for... It's a brand new game. We debuted it on the Dan and Maz show a couple of weeks ago. Rave reviews, back by popular demand.
Yep.
Yeah, it is, right?
No, it's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's easy to play too.
It really is.
Just reach into your pocket.
Tell us what's in your pocket. This is inspired by the Justin Timberlake song Can't Stop the Feeling. There's a bit of the song that goes like this.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
And we call BS on sunshine in your pocket because you can't fit sunshine in your pocket, sunshine.
In fact, if anything, your pocket's quite dark.
Yeah. So we thought, you know what? Reach into that little pocket, tell us what's in there, and then you can actually insert that into the song. So, for example.
Okay.
I got that.
Lunchtime dose of multivitamins.
In my pocket.
Oh, right.
And I do, and I'll have them at lunch today.
And then you're going to put them in your mouth. They'll be all linty.
No, they're in a little Ziploc bag, mate.
Thank God. Oh, what, you're walking around with pills in a Ziploc bag in your pocket? You might get frisked or something.
Standard.
You can do it on our Facebook as well, where Dan and Maz are, for example, let's do one.
I got that.
Marbles and Lego.
In my pocket.
Thanks, Jennery. Can I give you another one?
Excellent. Yeah, do it. All right. Go for it.
I got that.
Hose nozzle.
In my pocket.
That was Rain. That was someone called Rain.
That is fantastic. Someone's cruising around with a hose nozzle in their pocket.
One more.
Okay, I got that.
Golf ball.
In my pocket.
Thanks, Beck, on our Facebook. 131060, what's in your pocket?
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Fast becoming our favourite part of the show, what's in your pocket?
All right, easy to play. Look in your pocket, whatever's in there, and we're going to rewrite the Justin Timberlake classic with, it's like only a few months old,
is
not
it
even.
A classic yet?
With what's in your pocket. You can do it on our Facebook as well. Dan and Maz on Facebook. Should we do an example from Facebook to give you an example so you know what you're doing when you call up? Yeah,
go for it. Take it away, Dan.
I got that.
Hope.
In my pocket.
And lots of it. Hope for a better future. Hope for a healthier life. Hope for my kids to be the best they can be in life. Hope for the world and achieving global peace. Hope for the world's children to be happy, safe, healthy and prosperous. But others would say my pocket was empty. How little they know as I am rich in hope.
Oh, wow.
That is a legit comment on our Facebook from Christopher. Thank you for sharing that, Christopher. We hope you keep listening.
There's some hashtag inspo for your Sunday.
Ideally, we'd like what's physically in your pocket.
We don't overthink this, guys. This is not two geniuses that have come up with something you really need to overthink. This is literally what's in your pocket. 131060 is the number Emma has called through. Hello.
Hello, how are you going?
Okay.
I'm good, babe. So we're going to play the song. You tell us what's in your pocket in the middle bit, and then this should be a success. Okay, go for it.
I got that.
3-year-old Macca's receipt.
In my pocket.
Well, are you keeping that one because that was a special memory?
No, I actually threw it out. I was going through my wardrobe to find something to wear the other night, and I found these pair of jeans that I've only worn once, and I was looking through the back pocket, and there it was, the Macca's receipt. But when I looked at it, I remembered what I did that night.
To this day,
I still order that meal.
Oh, that's a lovely story.
There you go. Yeah. Thought maybe you were keeping it for tax purposes or something.
No. Yeah, claim that fillet of fish.
I don't know how you could ever claim Macca's on tax, though.
What if
Let's
you had a business
honest.
Meeting at Macca's?
Oh, yeah, sure. But I don't think Emma did.
I would just get the ATO to come straight around your house and give you an audit.
We've got Alicia. Hello.
Hello.
Okay.
Alicia, you know how this works by now, surely.
All right.
Oh, yes.
Okay, here we go.
I got that.
Golden ticket
in my pocket.
Okay, what are you, Charlie from the Chocolate Factory? What golden ticket have you got?
Like a Dry July golden ticket?
Oh,
not quite.
No?
What is it?
It's a golden ticket from Bicky's at Bertram. It's a brand new bar in the city, a basement bar on Grenfell Street, and they serve espresso martinis on tap.
Are you an investor in this bar or something?
It's your bar.
No, no. This is what I remember from the other night. I got this golden ticket. We got out of a taxi, went to see what was happening in town. Not much was happening, but this place was happening. And
but what does the golden ticket entitle you to? What does it mean?
We go there on Sunday night for a special golden ticket party.
What the hell? Is this some sort of swingers thing or something? Is this anyone who has a golden ticket that is whipping their clothes off in a back room or something?
No.
Oh, sure.
They just invited us in and gave us this golden ticket for Sunday night.
That's cool. We
found this little basement bar and, it was really great.
Sounds great.
Club thing, Maz, where it's like the first rule of golden ticket club is you don't talk about golden ticket club, and she's already broken it.
If that golden ticket is in that pocket, then you can't wear the same thing to that club again. So you have to make sure you take the golden ticket out of that pocket, put it in a different pocket to go back to the bar.
One of the good things about pockets is you can take things in and out of them. Let's do another one. Sarah!
Sarah!
Hi.
All right,
hi,
Sarah, take it away. I got that
fish in my pocket.
Fish? You got fish in your pocket?
Yeah.
Like a plastic fish?
No, like a whole fish.
Why?
You have fish in your pocket.
Well, because I needed to go shopping for some kitchen supplies and I needed a new fry pan. So I was like, I need to make sure the fry pan's big enough if I want to cook a whole fish. So I took one with me just to test it out.
Like when you you need to get a new light globe for your house, so you take the old one in and say, I need one like this. You've walked into a shop with a fish and gone, just pulled it out of your pocket and gone, oh, I need a pan about this big.
Yeah, exactly.
Easier way would be just to measure it with a ruler and then just go in and ask for it.
Then she'd ring up with
the
ruler.
That's not as fun, though.
Yeah, it's more fun to walk around with a big old fish in your pocket.
I like your style, babe. I like your style.
Thank you.
That's all right. Thanks for calling. I love this segment.
It's a good one.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
There she is, Australia. It's our Maz Compton. There she is. Round of applause, please. Oh, stop. Why are you all cheering our beautiful, wonderful Maz Compton so much? Could it be because she's nominated for Cosmo's Woman of the Year? For me, Maz, you're a woman
Possibly.
Of a lifetime. You're a woman of a lifetime for me, Maz, but just one year.
Oh. There's no award for that, though, is there?
Listen to her. She's even humble, folks. She's even humble. What is this award, Maz?
It is. Oh, it's always a pleasure to be nominated for Cosmo Mag.
Yeah, but it's going to be better when you win.
Well, see, I'm nominated in the radio category up against some legendary chicks who I have
that
mad
you
respect
will
for.
Crush and destroy.
Well, it's not really about that.
No, it is.
Do you know what I love about these awards? And I've had the pleasure of going every year for a few years now. Is it's a bunch of awesome chicks, and you all get together and you realise, hey, we're doing this thing, and we're all really good at what we do, and it's actually really inspiring to get around other women who are, working in media especially and crushing it.
Yes, crushing them.
No.
Crushing them. Destroying them. And being victorious. Which is exactly what's going to happen, Maz, because I put together a little treat for you.
Okay.
To convince people.
This always makes me nervous when you take on the role of campaign manager.
If people are thinking, should I vote for Maz or should I vote for one of the other incredibly talented women up for the running, I've systematically taken down every single competitor that you're up against, okay? You're welcome. Have a listen. Our Maz has been nominated for Woman of the Year by Cosmos Magazine, my favourite science and astronomy magazine.
No, Dan, it's Cosmo Magazine.
Oh, okay. Cosmo Magazine, my favourite lifestyle magazine that inspires and empowers women to be their best in every area of their life.
And look who she's up against.
Jessica Mowboy.
She kicked Paulini out of the Young Divas.
Rose Byrne.
She was in that terrible movie, The Internship. Maz, on the other hand, has never made a bad Hollywood movie.
Margot Robbie.
Suicide Squad.
Sam Armitage.
Stands idly by while Koshy tells bad jokes and does nothing to stop him.
Carrie Bickmore.
Swears live on national TV.
Adelaide, we're going to leave you here. You're going off to watch the Big Breast.
Sam Frost.
Cruelly broke a dozen hearts on national TV and acts like it ain't no thing.
Iggy Azalea.
Owes $300,000 in unpaid taxes. Seriously, I read that in the paper.
Miranda Kerr.
She's pretty good, actually, yeah.
And Sonia Kruger.
We'll just leave that one there. No need to elaborate there.
Vote for Maz Compton in Cosmo's Woman of the Year. Any other vote is a vote for evil.
Thank you. Thank you, Maz. You're welcome. You're welcome, Maz. You're welcome.
I think you secretly get more excited about a nomination than I do so that you can do things like what you just did.
I know. That's like a dozen women who will never appear as guests on our show now. Anyway, go to our Facebook so you can vote for our Mazzy.
Thanks, mate.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Almost time for us to get out of here, but we end our weekend show in the same fashion each week with all of the news that you didn't need to care about.
Big news, small news, local news, Huey Lewis in the news. So much news. Here's the stuff turns out you don't need to care about.
This week was Census Week. Dwellings across Australia were filled with the sound of over 21,507,717 Australians, thanks 2011 Census, filling in their forms. Or at least it should have been. You see, all the media foofa were around the no religion / Jedi conundrum, the breaches of privacy, the fines for lateness. None of it really mattered, because no one could log on to the website.
Yes, there's no.
Good on you, Australia.
Outrage and scandal have hit our Olympic team. Luke Longley cracked it at the Dream Team's Paul George after the Boomers' narrow loss. Mac Horton had a crack at his Chinese rival.
China upset after Australian swimmer calls Yang a doper.
But who cares? Because in the pool, the rugby paddock and the shooting range, Aussie's got gold, baby! Gold. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie!
Oi to the oi to the oi!
And nothing like a celebrity Instagram to create a stir for no reason whatsoever. The latest one is Hugh Jackman, who posted a photo on Instagram looking ancient, prompting comments like,
"What's going on with Hugh Jackman's face?
Are you like sick? Please take care."
"Well, are you okay? You look a little frail."
"Well, looks like we didn't need to worry, because the hot rumour is Wolverine 3 is going to have an old Wolverine plotline. Hugh Jackman will never get old."
See you in a week, gang, with more news you didn't need to care about.
There it is, legends.
You didn't have to care about any of it.
You didn't need to care about, but you do, because what else do you do during the week?
I know. Hey? Well, what do we do? I don't know. Wait until Saturday when we get to talk to you again.
That's right, Australia. The show lives online. We're at danandmaz.com. Follow us on all of the social media. Check out our Facebook page with Dan and Maz, or at Dan and Maz on Twitter and Instagram. That's it.
Yep.
Good one. All right. Have a good Sunday.
Yeah, do that.
See you, team.
Bye.
Dan and Maz Weekends.